Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
I think you might be a little shocked with how I'm going to start the program today. Little shocked. I mean, I knew that this would be a topic because I've been tracking this. And if you watch hockey, you knew it was going to be an issue. I have to be honest, I didn't... Hey, James Kelly. I didn't necessarily... I haven't heard that horn in a while. That sounds great. I didn't necessarily think that I would start the program with it. But there really is no getting around it. If you were on X last night, if you were online last night, you don't even need to be a Ranger or a Devils fan to see this. It was viral. It was everywhere. And even this morning. And shout out to Bella B. Bella B in Calgary, I know how much you love when I taw hockey.
I love when you taw hockey.
I know, and you love when James Kelly taws anything. She loves her some James Kelly. Well, Bella, I'm here for you. I'm going to give you what you want. Normally, when I give you clones what you want, it's a bad idea. Today, I'm going to give at least one clone what she wants. Bella, today, not only am I going to taw hockey, I'm going to lead with it.
I love when you taw hockey.
Well, then you're going to love this. Because last night at Madison Square Garden, the mecca for some of the greatest fights ever, and you know me, I'm a fight fan, some of the greatest fights ever, the mecca. Talk to any boxer. That's where they want to be. We had another all-time brawl, another all-time fight last night. An all-time fight where a hockey game broke out. I mean, for real, isn't UFC 300 next weekend? Isn't it supposed to be in the desert? If you were on X last night, or hell, even this AM, you know damn well what I'm talking about. Because it's been trending since the very second the puck dropped between the Rangers and the Devils. Now, if you know, you know. If you don't know, let me give you a quick backstory, a little background, and a quick refresher. If there was ever a likes to fight guy in the NHL, past or present, it's Rangers rookie Matt Rempe. He'd be that guy. He's likes to fight guy, likes to punch other guys in the face guy, and seemingly likes to get punched in his own face guy. Because this dude is throwing and eating copious amounts of punches on the daily. For instance, he's played just 14 games in his career, in his NHL career. He's played only 14 games, and I feel like he's had at least twice as many fights already. Now, I'm no neurologist, nor do I need to be a neurologist to know that's probably not sustainable. That's probably not going to end well. Now, he knows what he signed up for. I understand that. Here's what else I understand. And again, I have no medical background, but I don't need it to know this. The human face and the human brain is not meant to absorb that much punishment. That bill will eventually come due. And when it does, it's ugly. We've seen it time and time again. NHLers, NFLers, anybody in combat sports. I mean, book it. As for the here and now, you know damn well, if you were paying attention, that it was all going to go down last night. We all knew it. And you knew it was going to happen sooner than later. I'm not sure we knew it was going to happen that soon, but then we probably should have when we saw who both coaches sent out for the opening faceoff. Again, some background. The last two times, or the last time these two teams met, Matt the Mauler not only pissed off the entire New Jersey organization, but the entire state of New Jersey after he elbowed Devils defenseman Jonas Siegenthaler. Jonas Siegenthaler cracked him in the head. Everybody was pissed. I think even Jersey native Chalk was pissed. So the ref assesses Matt the Mauler a 5-minute major for that play, along with the game misconduct, and the NHL dinged him 4 games. It was that bad. Right after that, Devil's badass, Curtis McDermott, tried to fight Matt, but the refs rushed in quickly. Loves to Fight Matt was sent to the locker room, but he waved to the New Jersey bench on the way off the ice. He's that guy. Not only likes to fight guy, likes to instigate guy, likes to stir the pot guy, loves everything about it guy. Now, mind you, that was the second time this season that Rempe was booted after hitting a New Jersey player. See, this is why they hate that guy so much. He had already been shown the exit door after he iced another devil. So, that brings us all fast forward to last night's game. You knew something was going to happen. It had the feel of a heavyweight title fight. Especially when the game started, as both coaches had their enforcers on the ice to start the game. Everybody is frothing at the mouth. We all know it's going to go down. I mean, that was some McGregor v. Alvarez, Madison Square Garden magic when the puck dropped. We knew what would happen. We knew exactly what would happen. And that is exactly what happened. However, it wasn't just the main event. We knew those two big dudes were going to square off. What we didn't know was that we would get the entire undercard going simultaneously as every single skater on ice dropped gloves. Not one, not two, not three, not four. Five fights simultaneously 2 seconds into that game. I've been watching and loving hockey my entire life. And I pride myself on not being that dude, that guy with a mic and a camera, who only talks hockey when there's a brawl. I love the game. I love the sport. I was brought up on the sport. I've told you famously, we were one of the ones that had season tickets to the LA Kings before 99 got here. My old man loved the game. We used to go watch. We had season tickets to the LA Sharks of the old WHA in the early 70s. I love hockey. We'd hang out in the Forum Club after Kings games. So I'm not that guy who only talks when there's brawls. However, given my background, I have never seen a brawl like this one before. It was something to behold.
Square Garden has seen its fair share of bouts on the canvas, on the ice. No undercard tonight. Rempe and McDermott, the main event to open the hockey game. Both sides. Lazar went the other side as well. Jimmy Vesey and Lazar. Gaudreau has dropped them with Kevin Ball as well. Now it's 5-on-5. McDermott and Rempe exchanging blows, but everybody has gloves off at the Garden. Andre Miller and John Marino, there's only four officials, there's five fights. They're trying to break up what they can. Meanwhile, Rempe and McDermott still throwing it. Andre Miller got the better of John Marino down on the other end as McDermott still feeding rights to Rempe. The other four are all done. The main event's still going.
This is unbelievable. Holy jump, and what a start to this one right here. But McDermott's got it. He had a couple of uppercuts.
This is a marathon between Rempe and McDermott.
Rempe's visor down. Oh, they got to be out of gas. Completely out of gas. Completely out of gas. Holy jump.
All right, so much to unpack from that, but the ratio of fights to refs is not good. 5-4. That means somebody's getting their ass kicked because there's a ref who can't jump in to save them. Man, you want to talk about a 5-on-5. You want to talk about a 5-on-5. Never mind a 5-on-5. That looked like the two coaches were about to throw themselves. Hell, we were a goalie fight away from a full-fledged Avs v. Red Wings brawl of yesteryear. Now, I'm not going to lie. I'm not a zealot for fighting in the NHL. I've always understood the argument. You know, I don't fully agree with the argument, but I've always understood the argument from the old school that there's a reason why there's fights in the NHL. Right, the fans like them. But that's not what the old school will tell you. Hockey fan or hockey purist will tell you, you have to leave fighting in the game because the alternative is worse. If you don't let guys blow off steam and drop gloves, they'll use the butt end of their sticks. That's always been the argument. Anyway, my thing is, I'm not a zealot for it or a zealot against it. I'm just not going to die on that hill. However, I've also never been a guy who said, get it out of the sport. There's no place for it in the sport. Because, like I always say, the next time somebody leaves the arena when a fight starts is going to be the first time. But that last night, now that was something. That was something. I don't want to sit here and fully condone it, but I can't say that it wasn't incredible. Especially the main event, because the main event itself between the two heavyweights lasted damn near a minute and a half. That might as well be five rounds in a UFC match. Five-minute rounds. A minute and a half in a hockey fight is an eternity. An eternity for two monsters beating the crap out of each other with bare fists. Again, I'm no neurologist, but you can't tell me that fight alone didn't take at least 5 years off both their lives. In the end, eight players were ejected after logging 2 seconds of ice time. Let me repeat that. Eight guys got ejected for 2 seconds of ice time, including Matt the Mauler and Big Kurt, because the refs said that they were not the first ones to drop gloves. 130 minutes of penalties, over 300 minutes of ice time missed, and a whole lot of punches connected. And of course, it didn't end there. It never does. There was another fight that broke out minutes later. Oh, and then there's this. The Rangers won the game. The Rangers did win the hockey game 5-4, in case you were wondering about that. Because, well, they are the better team. You know, the better hockey team in all. And they are a legit cup contender this season. And the Devils, well, they're not that. They just hate Rempe. Like almost everybody does right now. I've seen and spoken to some of the league's all-time great enforcers in my day. I interviewed Tiger Williams on the original Talk 2 show that I hosted on ESPN2. Can't lie, I was terrified the whole interview. That was a scary dude. Marty McSorley used to come on this show frequently back in the day. Also a scary dude. Thoughtful dude. Good dude, but a scary dude. Stu Grimson, great dude, used to come on the show back in the day. Ty Domi. So I've talked to some of the great enforcers, except I don't remember any of those guys starting their fighting careers quite like this dude. Because 14 games in, he's had more brawls than most guys have in a 14-year career. Especially in today's game. I'm telling you. I mean, prize fighters, right? Prize fighters today fight what? Maybe every 6 months? This dude fights like every six shifts. Then again, it's not like he needs the Devils to let his hands go. They're just his favorite to give them hands too. He's an equal opportunity face breaker. He'll punch anyone in the face, anytime, anywhere. Dana White, in that regard, would love this guy. A company man that will take any fight against any opponent anywhere on short notice. Good news. Six games left. More opportunities to break somebody's jaw, Maddie. Bad news. Once the playoffs start, that sort of thing is not encouraged. So get your shots in while you still can. And I know you will. Because you are the very definition, my dude, of likes to fight guy. No, check that. Loves to fight guy. Bottom line, I pride myself on loving that sport and not being that guy who only talks hockey when a brawl breaks out. But there's no way that I was not going to talk about that, because that was not just a brawl. That was a riot. The Maoists in the palace can't believe how insane that was. In fact, speaking of which, I'm shocked fans were not coming over the glass to get in on that. I'm surprised Matt, on the way back to the locker room, didn't jump over the glass. 1-800-636-8686. Wild, wild video. We're not on video right now. We're not streaming video right now, but we will soon enough. And once we do, you know I'll be all over that. What's your beef? I already started you with one. Now I need yours. Let's go to the phones. Milwaukee, Mike. Good to have you, Mike. What's your beef?
Romy, my beef is with my wife. when opening the new Clorox wipes, she just refuses to pull from the middle of the roll, even after I've circled the diagram on the side of the container and demonstrated to her how it works. I love you forever, babe, but let's do better. Much love from Wisco, Jim. I'm out.
Nice job, Mike. I like that. That's a different beef. I like that. You know, and that wasn't like an angry beef. That was just kind of a frustrated beef. Babe, I love you. I've circled the diagram. Please pull from the middle when using the wipes. Hey, those things are kind of a pain in the ass, in her defense. Probably somebody should circle the diagram for me. 1-800-636-8686. It's a good start. I like that. I like his energy. I like that energy. Let's go to Grand Rapids. Mac, good to have you, Mac. What's your beef?
What's up, Romy?
What's up, dude?
I got a beef. I got a beef with Michigan weather. I just drove from Grand Rapids to Cadillac. Sleet, snow, hail. And guess what? Tomorrow's Tigers opening day. Let's see how that works out. I'm out.
Yeah, good point. You know, he's talking about the weather right now in the spring. Speaking of DJ, DJ told me she's got a couple of friends that are touring the campus in Wisconsin, and there's snow. I said, good. The California people, I said, good. They need to know. They need to know what it's going to be like. If they go to Wisconsin and they go to Madison and they get this beautiful weather, their kids will not be ready when it all hits. Now, you're right, though. The weather is weird. And snow to you is rain to us. Rain to us is more traumatic than snow to you. And we're expecting more rain tomorrow here in Cali. Like, is it ever going to stop raining? 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Savannah, Georgia. Casey, what's your beef?
Hey, Rome, I got a beef with the upper crust peeps who go to fancy restaurants and try to come off like they're part of the staff. Listen, Monsieur 1%er, we appreciate you bringing in your biggest client or your ultimate arm candy date, and we servers want you to look good so you can close that deal. But stop trying to stack your dirty plates and tell us, hey, I'm just trying to help out, or hey, let me make it easy for you. Your amateur efforts are going to cause that spoonful of Bernays to land on your guest's blouse or silk suits, and we're going to get the blame. So please sit there like an experienced guest. Be served by the pros, leave a minimum 20% grat, and we'll see you next Thursday when your account's from D.C. or L.A. or the ATL come to town. Thank you for joining us, and Romy, I'm out.
Oh, man, I let that go a long time. Alvy probably would have broke you out, but broke you off. The fact that you did that with a single breath was really impressive. Leave your 20% grat was funny. Leave your 20% grat. Let us stack the plates so you do not spill Bernays on your arm candy, and leave us a 20% grat, and we'll see you next week. Well done. Let's go to Charleston. Miles, great to have you. Miles, what's your beef?
Hey, Jim. I got a beef with Jeff Passan. I don't know if you heard this take, but Jeff said Babe Ruth couldn't play in the modern MLB. I just wanted to let Jeff know that Babe Ruth hit more home runs than a number of teams. He hit like 12 500-foot home runs, which is more than, I don't know, Baroid, who hit zero. Anyway, Jim, War Emerson Fittipaldi, give me back my cheddar. I'm out.
Dude, the Rat family does not exist. Keep Emo's name out your mouth. A rather gratuitous Rat Fam reference on the way out the door. That negates anything you had to say before. And by the way, I don't ever disagree with Jeff Passan. Passan is one of the smartest guys I've ever met in the business. And he's got a point. I mean, without getting into this and fighting his debate for him, because Passan does not need my help. Let's face it, Babe Ruth did not exactly go up against the greatest competition. Some of the best players in the world were not playing when he was playing. Negro leagues, some of the best players were not out there. I mean, come on, look at the guy. No, he wasn't fueled by roids. He was fueled by beer, brats, and sex. And still hit 714 home runs. He was skilled now. That was a skilled fat man. Almost impossible to compare players over generations, especially that many generations. Let's go to Driftwood. Ben in Driftwood. Hey, Ben, what's your beef?
Oh, GMO. Today's beef is courtesy of all the badass pickup guys replacing their factory antennas with huge bullets. If you really want to be the ultimate highway intimidator, why not check your Army surplus store for a bazooka you could weld on your hood? Or better yet, maybe you could affix a Civil War.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Do you like that, James? James enjoyed running somebody. You know what that was, Ben? It's not that your take was so terrible. It was, but I've come to expect that from you. It was the phone quality. It was the phone quality. It's still an audio median. Sound quality counts. 1-800-636-8686. Omaha, Nebraska. Love Omaha. Good old school affiliate. Jeff, great to have you. What's your beef?
Yeah, my beef is with Mr. DeLauro for taking off and leaving Big Stupid in control and not knowing how to use a board. Please, for the love of God.
Whoa. Hey, Big Stupid, you did not do that. Just because he called you the Big Stupid? Oh, that was something. But then again, I guess, first of all, Jeff, I have no problem. I want the record to reflect. Jeff, my guy, I have no problem with what you just said. Hard stop. Full stop. But you can't call the guy who's got the hammer, who generally never has the hammer, and is drunk on the hammer. He's drunk on the hammer. He just ran somebody, and I said, I bet that felt good. He goes, yeah, it felt great. He was still high from running the previous caller. He was still drunk off his ass from running the previous caller. So you can't come in and then hit that guy with said hammer with, hey, the Big Stupid with the hammer. Of course he brought the hammer down. But I don't disagree with you. Big Stupid's like, he's lucky I didn't hit him with a polter. Dude, if you weren't so stupid and you were quick enough, you would have. Don't do it. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Boise, Duke. Good to have you, Duke. What's your beef?
Hey, yeah, my beef is with guys like that previous caller complaining about spring weather. Look, it's spring. It can't make its mind up, especially if you live in a mountain state. Grow up and get over it. It's going to be nice. It's going to be drizzly. It's going to be winter. It's going to suck. Knock it off. And especially if you're sitting in a bar lonely by yourself, don't interrupt me with talking about the weather while watching the ball game.
My man, nice job. It's spring weather. It can't make up its own mind, especially in the mountain region. That was strong. Don't interrupt me when I'm in a bar watching a ball game. Nice job. 1-800-636-8686. I always say it at least once during the segment. My favorite thing about the segment is literally all 50 are in. Everybody's got beef from every, plus Canada, every geographical, every demographic. Biloxi is our next stop. Chad in Mississippi. Chad, what's your beef?
My beef is with the pedestrian that you stop and let walk across the street while they're on their phone and they don't even bother to look up and wave. They just stroll their fat ass along. I want to see you give me at least the acknowledgement wave or like the fake run to kind of make you think they're making an effort.
Yes, dude. Agreed. I want to see a wave too. I agree with that. A head bob, a nod at minimum. A nod at minimum. They don't need to walk over to the car, knock on my window, and say thank you. But at least give me a nod, a wave, an acknowledgement. You're right. A fake little bounce in their step to hurry it along. Well said. I agree. 1-800-636-8686. Got to go to Pomona. Anthony. No, not have to go to Pomona. Get to go to Pomona. Anthony in Pomona. Anthony, what's your beef?
Hey, Jimmy. My beef are with my allergies for progressively getting worse and worse as I get older. So now that anytime I want to go smoke a blunt, I got to scrub my hands like a maniac. Just because if I touch my face, here comes an hour of sneezing fit and all that weed wasted. Or my girlfriend giving me that no reciprocation kind of nice last night. Oot.
Dude, come on, man. That no reciprocation kind of nice. That's a phrase. Wow, Anthony. That one got past the big stupid, didn't it? I mean, in your defense, big stupid, there was no one thing to run there, except for pretty much all of it. But I know you're still reveling in how you did that other guy. You got to turn the page, dude. You got to be ready for the next thing, big stupid. Big head. That guy glossed the big head, the big stupid. Pretty funny. And then, shock of all shocks, the big head with the hammer ran the guy who called him the big stupid. Eric in Orlando is so pissed right now. Why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I think of that? I'd be relevant again. Then I would not be the one-hit wonder that I am. Your buddy Eric in Orlando. If I had just come up with the big stupid as a follow-up to the big head, I would not be that one-hit wonder that I'll always be. Back to the phones. 1-800-63. I didn't come up with the big stupid. I didn't come up with the big stupid. I don't fish on a boat, Matt. I fish on a boat.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt?
I didn't come up with a big stupid. I didn't come up with a big stupid. Let's go to the ATX. Wonder what this guy's going to talk about. Vince in the ATX. Vince, como está usted, amigo?
Muy bien, muy bien. Listen, my beef is with these out-of-state yahoos parking at the airport, the highway, the strip clubs for this darn eclipse. Go home. Quit buying up all the beer and condoms. Oh, my gosh. And when I think of the name Anonymous, I think it was Jera calls his love child. Hey, Jera, Tom Malone thinks you're a lousy parent. Out. Hook 'em.
Ouch, dude. Ouch across the board on that one, Vince. All across the board. Carl Malone thinks you're a lousy parent. Every time I see Carl Malone trending on X, it's never good. And you know what it's for. Carl Malone, he used to actually come on the show back in the day. Way back before there was social media and he could trend on the X. He was one of the first big, big interviews I did on that same show, Talk 2. And I had my notes and I had my prep because we used to prep like crazy because they were 45-minute interviews. I had a clipboard. He ripped it out of my hand. He said, give me that. He snatches my prep, 45 minutes of prep that we've prepped for days on a clipboard, rips it out of my hand, throws it across the set, and it skids underneath the stove. That was on the set. And I was there to do an interview on live TV for 45 minutes with Carl Malone and no prep. I knew the prep because we had done the prep. But that was my first encounter with Carl Malone. But still better than what he trends for. Let's go to Sacktown. Bill in Sacramento. Bill, it's good to have you. What's your beef?
Hey, Jim, my beef is with the Oakland A's over here at Raley Park where the Giants play their AAA team, talking about playing three seasons, their last three seasons at Raley Park. Hey, we already have a AAA team here. We don't need two. Stay in that cesspool, the Oakland Coliseum, until you move. Thank you.
Wow, dude, incredible. That was so good. I mean, I hate to say that about the A's, but that was so good. My beef is with the A's. We already have a AAA team here. We don't want you here. Stay the hell away from us. Meanwhile, Oakland is furious with Sacktown for lending a helping hand. And that guy in Sacktown's like, no, we're not. We don't want any part of that. Keep that crap away from us. We have a better product. We already have a AAA team. Imagine Sacramento saying, no, we don't want Major League Baseball. But that's not what they're saying. They're saying, no, we don't want AAA baseball because we already have it. This is a good beef segment. This is fun. Let's go to San Antonio, Aaron. Aaron, what's your beef?
Hey, Jim. My beef is Shaq. I think he used to be really cool. I think it stopped happening when he asked the question, are you not entertained one too many times? The sponsors are over the top. It's just a little bit over the top. That's my beef, Jim. Longtime listener. Peace out.
Peace out. Yeah, my man might be slightly oversaturated. And by slightly oversaturated, I mean all the power to the big fella, even though he hates my guts. All the power to the big fella that he can advertise or endorse every product that's on every shelf of every store in the world. I mean, I wish it were me. In terms of, I liked him better when he was cool. That guy just said he's not cool anymore. When was he cool? I mean, he was dominant. He was big. He was kind of a bully. He and Kobe didn't get along. He's got four rings. But when was he, quote, cool? When he made Shazam? No, that was pretty terrible. I don't know. He's popular, though. Man, companies love him. There's nothing that dude's name is not on, man. Good work if you can get it. 1-800-636-8686. Man, let's go back to Mississippi. I like that. Two calls from Mississippi in the same segment. Diamondhead this time. Aaron, what's up, Aaron? What's your beef?
Hey, what's going on, Romy?
What up, dude?
My beef with my employer. They're giving this jackass $10,000 more per year than I make, and the dude can't even make a complete sentence in an email or come up with a PowerPoint project.
What is that, dude? That sucks. I agree, man. He's got an issue with both his coworker and his boss for giving that coworker 10 grr more, and the guy can't even complete his sentences or come up with a PowerPoint presentation. That sucks. I feel you. How do you think Tommy feels sitting next to Big Head? Big Head can't complete a damn sentence. And Tommy's Ivy. You think you got a problem? Big Stupid is next to Ivy over there. Tommy's Ivy League and Big Stupid, I don't even know if you graduated high school. Golden High School, yo. Dude, I've never seen anybody in my life more proud of a high school diploma than Big Stupid. Golden High School. He's more proud of graduating from Golden High than I am from graduating UC Santa Barbara. And it's pretty clear how proud I am of being a gaucho. That's why he's the Big Stupid. Speaking of the gauchos, they're in town. Gauchos are playing UCI this weekend in baseball. You know what that means. One of college baseball's greatest coaches ever, Andrew Checkitz, will be in town. Checks is so awesome. Checks should be a big league manager. I mean, for real. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Iowa. Josh in Iowa. Hey, Josh, what's your beef?
Listen, there's two types in this world. There's the folks that mount the spool of toilet paper so that it comes out over the top, and then there's people...
Dude, no bathroom humor. This is not hard.
I don't like that.
No... JN references, no bathroom humor. That's all I'm asking for. It's not a lot to ask for. That's why the Big Stupid ran you. Toilet paper. I don't need to know about the two types of people in the world. I just need a beef, and I need it not to be in the bathroom. Let's go to Erie, PA. I love it, though. So many phone calls, so many beefs. Paul in Erie, PA. Paul, good to have you. What's your beef?
Hey, got a beef with pickup truck drivers who are driving it like sports cars. You guys are really dangerous. You got to slow it down. another double beef. How about diesel pickup truck drivers, untuned, and then you're following them and you're eating all their dirt. That's my beef. We're out.
Again, it's kind of happenstance, right? How do you know who's going to be on the road? They have to. There is a need. Somebody needs to haul whatever it is they're hauling. You're not doing it. I'm not doing it. They're working. They're trying to get paid. They're trying to put food on the table. Man, you got to catch some gravel. It's going to happen. What? What's the alternative, my guy? Stay home? Never get behind the wheel of a car? Never get on a freeway? Never get on a highway? Never get behind a truck? Ban trucks? Ban gravel? 1-800-636-8686, Denver. Scott in Denver. Good to have you. Scott, what's your beef?
What's up, my dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey, put some respect on the big fella Shaq. It's Kazam, not Kazam.
You're right, dude. You know what's incredible about Big Stupid? He knows the rule. Don't correct the host. You're right, man. It is Kazam. I misspoke. Just came out wrong. I misremembered. I misspoke. No, you're right. I got that wrong. It was Kazam. Whatever it was ass. It was terrible. It was terrible. Not Space Jam 2 bad, because nothing's that bad, but Kazam was that bad. Almost that bad, but not that bad. He said, put some respect on the big fella. And how about the big stupid dude? I did not know you had that in you. With the hammer quickly to enforce Alvin's rule that you are never to correct the host, which is like the worst rule in the jungle because I'm wrong. They absolutely, and by they I mean you, have every right to correct me if I'm wrong. And I was wrong, but you still got hammered. In fact, if I'm wrong during the beef segment, just let it go. If you're clever about it, you'd wait until after the beef segment and say, hey, Rome, I got a posthumous beef with you. Actually, it wouldn't matter. If you correct me, you're going to get hammered. It doesn't matter when you do it. You have to do it in a way whereby you don't seem like you're correcting me. Or Alvin, for whatever reason, he doesn't take anything personally. Except if he doesn't get his 9 weeks off every time he throws a kid. But other than that, he rolls with everything. But for some reason, and I don't even think he'd take a silver bullet for me, but for some reason he takes great offense to you correcting me, even though I'm wrong, more often than not. Boy, you written beefers got to be so pissed. I mean, it's not even a thought. We're not getting anywhere near you because the calls are so good. Let's go to San Antonio. Vincent. Vincent, what's your beef?
Hey, what's going on, Rome? Hey, my beef is with drive-through coffee shops, man. I'm tired of them turning the tablet around and asking me to tip, like saying, this thing is going to ask you a question like it has a pulse. I'm out.
That's interesting. This thing is going to ask you a question. What, you can't speak? Why does the tablet have to ask me the question? Don't you have a tongue? Don't you have a voice box? What do you mean this thing is going to ask you a question? Yeah, it's true. That's kind of a new thing. And you know me. I feel very, very strongly about the grat, as that one caller put it. I feel very strongly about the grat because the service industry doesn't make a lot of money in many cases in base compensation. So they rely on the grat. So if you have a good attitude and good energy and you're happy to see me, you're going to get a nice fat grat from me. However, what that guy just said, I've got a beef with too. I've gone to places that are not service industry and they hit you with the grat, like weird things, expensive things, where already I'm throwing down big, big coin. And then all of a sudden when I go to put my credit card in and the tablet's there, it hits you with the grat. And they make you feel cheap if you don't grat them. But that's not a grat service. Like, when did that become? When did that begin? And I don't mean cheap things. I mean expensive things. That if you're saying, hey, Rome, what kind of expensive things? Use your imagination. But I mean things that I would never expect that they would press you into gratting. Anyway, I know what you're saying. Let's go to Nashville, Kenny. Hey, Kenny, what's your beef?
Full body deodorant. When do we get so funky that we got to lather ourselves down completely? But I was thinking of one good thing. Maybe the Big Head could incorporate that into his car wash. Kind of have a little side business, you know, with that little spray-on thing for deodorizing in your car. Have it for people. That's all.
Nice job, Kenny. Well done, Kenny. When did we get so funky that we needed full body deodorant? But here's an idea, Big Stupid. You could actually incorporate that into your car wash. Now you can wash cars, you can wash dogs, and you can wash people. Incorporate some full body deodorant. You know what's crazy? I'm going to walk off on that, and every line is still lit. So I've got a quick question for you. Are you looking for ultimate comfort and pain relief? Let's compare G-Defy shoes to other shoe brands that promise comfort and support and pain relief. Typical shoe brands rely on EVA soles for cushioning, but G-Defy offers so much more. G-Defy goes above and beyond with VersoShock technology, providing superior shock absorption and energy return if you suffer from foot, knee, or back pain. G-Defy's advanced technology may help provide you with the relief you deserve. I can't even believe these shoes and the difference they make for me. G-Defy shoes also offer two free supportive orthotics to help improve your body's biomechanics, resulting in proper body alignment and ultimate comfort. Yes, they do all that. So whether you're an athlete, a busy parent, or just somebody who's always on the go, G-Defy shoes offers the versatility and the comfort that your feet crave and need. Say goodbye to discomfort. G-Defy is more than EVA soles. It could be your path to unparalleled comfort and pain relief. Visit G-Defy.com today. Experience ultimate comfort and pain relief at G-Defy.com. G-D-E-F-Y.com. Use the code GYM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. That's code GYM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. G-Defy shoes. They are incredible. Anyway, I should not be having my guest wait because he's had himself a year, especially the last month or so. He is the new head basketball coach at the University of Washington. He comes to the Huskies from Utah State, who had an amazing year. They were 28-7 last year. He led the Aggies to their first outright Mountain West regular season title, and they earned their first trip to the NCAA tournament since 2001. They beat TCU in the first round. He was the Mountain West Coach of the Year this season. He, prior to that, was the head coach of his alma mater, Montana State, for four seasons, where he went to the NCAA tournament a couple of times as Big Sky Conference champs. We are joined by Danny Sprinkle. Danny, it's been a minute, but it's great to have you back on the show. Danny, how are you?
Man, I'm doing great. I appreciate you having me on, Jim.
It's good to have you back. So, yeah. I mentioned you have had quite a month or so, or quite a few weeks. I guess if anybody could speak to March Madness, it's you. You led Utah State to the second round of the tournament. Then you accepted the Washington job. What have the last couple of weeks been like for you?
Yeah, it's been, like I said, it's been madness. You know, not only just the pressure of the late games of the seasons, we're playing for an outright championship, and then you're trying to win the Mountain West tournament, and then going to the NCAA tournament, you know, and all that while, you know, trying to stay focused, and you know how this world is. Like, you know, you have, you know, interviews and, you know, and different. That's obviously where a great agent comes in, and I got Brad Just, who I think is the best. And we're able to focus on what we had to do at Utah State.
You know, it's amazing. Like, when you were hired by Utah State last April, did you ever imagine that you would be anywhere other than Logan, Utah, only 1 year later?
No, I mean, not in my wildest dreams. I mean, when I went there, I was planning on, you know, being there for a long time, but then opportunities came up. I mean, we had to sign an entire brand new roster. We didn't have a point, rebound, assist returning, and we had to sign basically, you know, 11 new players in mid-April on. And so, you know, never in my wildest dreams that I think we'd have 28 wins and win an NCAA tournament game and win an outright championship. But, you know, that's the way it worked out, and I'm very fortunate to – have some great players and staff to have the success to be able to parlay it into University of Washington job.
Danny Sprinkle joining us. What you just said is amazing, and I was going to get to that, that you had to bring in like 11 new guys, that you didn't have a single point or rebound returning. In fact, that's why you were picked to finish ninth in the preseason Mountain West poll, and yet not only do you get to the NCAA tournament, but you advance there and win a game there. Like, how in the world did you pull that off, by the way?
Great players. You know, we were very fortunate. Two players followed me from Montana State. Great Osabar, who ended up getting Mountain West MVP and had a terrific year. And then our point guard, Darius Brown, you know, who really led the locker room. And, you know, especially in the summer, he could coach all the new guys and tell them how me and my staff operated. And Darius was first-team all-league point guard. And he hit like five game-winning shots this year, Jim. Like, it was crazy. The stuff and the magic that he was built with this year. I mean, it's all about play level. Very fortunate to win some of those games, but the players were the ones that did it.
We're talking to Danny Sprinkle. You know, it seems to me it's going to take a tremendous, tremendous opportunity to leave a program where you just had an amazing year. So ultimately, what did the decision come down to, and what do you like best about this new challenge?
You know, I mean, obviously, you know, now, you know, we have a seat to win a national championship. Like, you're in the Big Ten now. Like, and it's an unbelievable university from an academic standpoint. You know, the people in the department, the other coaches are elite. And, you know, that's what I wanted to surround myself with. You know, every time you're around elite people, it just brings your level up. And so, you know, with the way the college landscapes do, you know, I mean, kind of the big DC and the big, you know, so, and obviously the Big East, you know, basketball-wise, but, you know, it's tough if you're not really part of one of those four conferences. As great as the Mountain West is, you know, and getting six teams in the tournament this year, you know, you never know what it looks like in 2 years.
I think these are fair points. It was amazing that they got six teams in, and you're right, things changed so dramatically. So UW, Danny Sprinkle, my guest, UW has got a strong hoops heritage. It dates back to the 10 years of, like, Marv Harshman, Lorenzo Romar. Yep. Seattle's always been this great, great basketball town. Wins, though, have been tough to come by for the Huskies in recent years. So what's your vision for jump-starting and rebuilding that program?
Yeah, you know, we got to get the right kids. We got to get the right culture in here. We got to get some toughness, some discipline. And because that's what it takes in the Big Ten. You know, it's a different physicality in the Big Ten than it was in the Pac-12. And so it's a different, you know, style of game. And, you know, so we have a lot of things that we're going to have to adjust to. You know, obviously everybody has to recruit nationally now, you know, with the transfer portal. It's kind of like a G League in a sense, where you don't know what your team's going to be year in and year out. You know, if a kid has chance, he's trying to go somewhere else. You know, and that's another thing with University of Washington. I think we're going to be able to retain the best players, because we're going to be playing in one of the best leagues in the country, at one of the best universities in the country. So hopefully that'll be easier to retain our best players and be able to compete for national championships.
We are talking to Danny Sprinkle. He's the new head coach at Washington. So when you talk about the Big Ten, you're right. You've got Illinois, who got to the Elite Eight. You got Purdue getting ready to play in the Final Four on Saturday. In fact, you've got firsthand knowledge of how well Purdue is playing. They ended your season with a 39-point win in the second round. Like pretty much everybody else, you had trouble slowing down Zach Edey. He went for 23-14. What do you think, Danny, that NC State's defensive game plan for containing Edey will look like in their matchup?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, good luck, you know, because he's force, and Coach Painter does an unbelievable coaching. Like, their system that they have, you know, from everything from the way they feed the post to the way they space when they throw it to him, it puts you in a predicament because you have to double-team him. If you play him one-on-one, he's going to get 40-16 like he did last game. If you double-team him, now they got shooters all over the floor and they got athletes, so it's kind of a pick-your-poison, and you have to hope that they're missing some shots, and you can't let them offensive rebound those shots. You know, and one of our keys was you have to be great on offense. You can't turn the ball over. You have to get quality shots so you can get back in transition. But then it's a whole other thing when you have to stop that, you know, stop Edey in the half court.
Not only that, he and they play with a real edge, and especially coming off last year. So they're in their moment. Yep. But then you got UConn, right? Like, UConn has been hammering teams, and they made it back to the Final Four for the second straight year. From a coaching perspective, is there anybody in the profession right now, at least, doing it better than Dan Hurley, who, along with his players, and there are some new players, is just as hungry now, if not more so, than when they won it all last year?
It is, and I love watching. You know, like, he's cutthroat, like he's physical and tough on the sideline. Like, I love that, and you can see it when they're playing, and you can tell the way his team plays with a chip on their shoulder. They don't play like he doesn't care about last year. You know, you can just tell it's all about right now, next game, imposing their will on their opponent. And I mean, they're playing as good as anybody in the country, and they have a you know, I don't know how tall Klingman is, you know, 7'2 or 7'3. You know, that's somebody that, you know, if they run into Purdue, you know, that's, you know, probably the two tallest players in Division One, you know, that are tremendous players. So that'd be a heck of a matchup if it gets to that.
I was going to say, I don't like to do this because you got to play first and they've got to get there first. But if we were to jump ahead, like if that were the matchup, does Purdue have enough to beat UConn, who looks unbeatable?
I mean, I think so. It depends if they're making shots. You know, if they're making shots, you know, I think Purdue's probably, I mean, just both systems, it's going to be a clash of styles. And, you know, it'll be a close game, and it'll come down to whoever makes some shots and makes those, you know, tough 50-50 plays in the last 6 minutes of that game.
Danny Sprinkle, my guest. So not to disrespect Alabama, they're in the Final Four for the first time. Obviously, UConn's a heavy, heavy favorite against them. Do you give the Tide any kind of chance? Can you make any kind of argument as to how they can make that a game even, much less win it?
I do, because they can score the basketball. They play with extreme pace. And anytime a team can score like that, you know, if the other team's not making shots, like all of a sudden they can go on a 10 or 11 row run, you know, quick. And then, you know, then it can affect people mentally, you know, the teams. And so then they start pressing. The way they score the basketball, they could beat anybody.
There's no doubt. They can score the ball. They definitely can do that. Danny Sprinkle is the new head coach at Washington. He was the Mountain West Coach of the Year this year. They're coming off an amazing year. They're 28-7 and now a big-time opportunity with Washington. Danny, great to get caught up. Congrats on that new gig, and I know I'll find you next year too. Thanks so much for doing that.
You bet. Thanks. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. Have a great day. So he did. I can't stress that enough. What he inherited at Utah State, nothing. Not a returning point, not a returning rebound, nothing. Like, he needed 11 new players, and they got to the tournament and won a game. An incredible, incredible opportunity. Pick 9th in the preseason in the Mountain West. So, kind of jarring, I would imagine. You hire a coach, you get a damn good coach. You hire a coach, and you're thinking, man, this is good. And 1 year later, that coach is gone, but that's kind of the way it is, right? Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. No, we want beef, pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky, shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in 4 amazing flavors that satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? So, it's been a minute since we've seen Cat Mate.
We see Cat Mate.
But apparently, Tiger is ramping up to try to play at Augusta next week, of course.
Tiger!
Ramping up, but apparently not humping up. At least according to this incredible New York Post article from yesterday. Quote, "He's focused," says a friend of the 48-year-old golfer. Quote, "He's working really hard in the gym. He's eating right. He's even eliminated sex." He does that now when he's preparing. No sex until the tournament is over. He doesn't want anything to take away his focus. End of quote. Wow. That is commitment. Because we all know how much this dude loves getting nice. We all know how this dude loves getting down. Clearly, he is really committed to playing in this tournament. And by the way, some quote friend, we all know that Tiger likes to keep a really tight circle. And that he's famous for ghosting anyone and everyone around him for the smallest of slights. Charles Barkley is an example. Chuck was famously tight with El Tigre. And even Charles would speak wistfully about how the cat ghosted him, and he never really knew why. Never mind that Chuck is an incredible dude, and that Chuck is an incredibly loyal friend. That's just the cat. And when the cat was at the peak of his powers, and before he started bouncing escalades off trees, and having his wife bounce his 9 off his grill, this dude would break anybody and everybody off, regardless of length of relationship or how tight they were, if he felt that they somehow said or did the wrong thing. He was famous for that. Almost as famous for that as for getting nice with anything that moved. So how about some, quote, friend busting out and running to the New York Post to yap about Tiger's sex life? A friend. A friend is yapping about this guy's sex life when he once battled a sex addiction. A sex addiction that essentially wrecked his life and his career. And a guy known for never letting anybody near him speak publicly about him, yet he's got, quote, a friend running to the tabloids to talk about his sex life. A sex life that nearly wrecked his life. Hey, what a shocker that that, quote, friend didn't want to put his or her name on that. Again, if I had to guess, that so-called friend is no longer a friend. Because we know that Tig loves to cut people out. He loves to cut people out, and he hates to tip, and he loves to get nice. But he also loves to cut people out. So that friend is obviously not a part of the so-called friend group anymore. And by the way, do we even believe it? I mean, don't most assume that the alleged goat likes getting nice even more than he likes to swing the bats? I mean, if he didn't, why would he risk losing everything for his love of getting nice? I'm not convinced that he's giving it up for the Masters, because I'm not convinced that he doesn't love it more than the Masters. I mean, seriously. And what if it's true? What if it backfires? Because we all know how much this dude loves to get nice. And we all know how stressful playing at the Masters can be. The one thing that we don't need, and that he doesn't need, is to be tweaking out on Amen Corner because he's missing his fix. Man, if you thought that he was crabby on the course before, wait until you see a sex-deprived Tiger in the Masters. If you thought this dude was too hard on himself before, wait until the Tiger and Tiger Woods blast. Wait till you hear them this week.
Tiger!
That, of course, is if he's even able to go this week, because there is another quote from a friend, but a friend who put his name to it, Nota Begay. Begay says that Tiger has, quote, zero mobility in his left ankle and has, quote, low back challenges, end of quote. We can't blame it on the wrestling, right? Since apparently there's no wrestling going on. Pretty tough to walk 72 holes with zero mobility in your left foot. Hard to walk one hole with zero mobility in your left foot. I actually feel badly for the guy, though. In this case, I'm on his side. The dude just can't win. If he has too much sex, it's a story. If he doesn't have enough sex or any sex, it's a story. But then again, he of all people should know better, right? Because he of all people should know that sex is undefeated. And so is not tipping. Thinking that you can beat sex will get your ass kicked every single time, and not tipping will get everybody in the world to hate you. These are universal truths. So not only is the cat not going to win this week, apparently he's not even getting nice. At least not on the track. Getting nice is nice. And he will be again shortly. Before the weekend. The cat is not going to see cat, mate.
We see cat, mate.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, OReillyAuto.com/Rome.